listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
I saw you there, just standing there. I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then, and then once again. You said you would come and dance with me. Dance with me across the sea. Such delight.
So now we are on RBN, and today's topic is right to try or right to be harmed. So we're going to take a look at the actually pretty popular, I think, and much touted legislation of right to try. And right to try is the right of a patient to use healing methods that may not yet have received FDA approval. And so this is a very important concept. And I think it's also important to understand the concept, because, as always, things are not what they appear. Now, for those of you on Facebook, by the way, I have a few treats for you, so we'll be going over those treats during our commercial break. So what is the right to try? So the right to try, it sounds very attractive. And so what we have to take a look at with the right to try is, first of all, it suggests that maybe it's a right you didn't have before. Maybe it's a right that you require government assistance to access. I mean, just the fact that you have a law that says right to try, it suggests that we're talking about something that requires government permission. And so a lot of people interpreted that, and I did too at first, was, oh, this means that if you have a condition, you can heal any way you want to. And so what this law suggests, that it was even passed, is that people might be missing out on something. And this something, whatever it is, the government is now giving people access to. It's like, wow, wow. And so what really is going on here on an emotional level is something called FOMO. Yes, FOMO. I learned about that. It's a marketing term. It's fear of missing out. And so fear of missing out is a huge, huge emotional drive. People are like, oh my God, I might be missing something important. And so because of this fear, they often rush into things that maybe later on they regret. So this is a fear of missing out, a fear of not having something that might be valuable. And as with making hasty purchases, also with your health, fear of missing out is a very bad reason, a very bad reason to do anything. I'm reading this book, and this book is Anti-Fragile by Nassim Taleb. And the great thing about this book is it totally extinguishes any FOMO or fear of missing out. And so what this philosopher says is you judge the reliability, truth, or value of something by its longevity. Time is the ultimate validation. So if something is really valuable, it will have stood the test of time. So things that are false, that are deceptive, that are untrue, they are things that are valued or revered for a brief period of time. And because people find it doesn't work, it collapses of its own weight. Or the damage that it does is so severe that people, even though they might believe in it, can no longer engage in it. And that's what we're seeing with the pharmaceutical approach to healing. So we have a benevolent leadership, let's just presume goodwill here, that has said, hey, wait, the citizens might be missing out on something. Let's give them the right to try. And so we have to ask, one, is this a right that the government can confer upon us, number one? And number two, it's the right to do what? The right to try what? What does it mean to try? And what are we trying? So these are things or questions that that need to be answered. So let's take a look at the right to try. So the right to try has actually come under, we'll call it scrutiny, and there's close observation and examination by the medical industrial complex itself. Absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. Now, I'd like to say the idea that if something is really true or valid, it will stand the test of time. And if something is not true over time, then it's simply not true. So if something's not true over, say, a 10-year period, it was never true even at the beginning of the 10-year period. This is an important concept to grasp. And I was just so excited to read a book that actually says, hey, it's either true or it's false. And if it's false 10 years after its discovery, then it was also false at the beginning of its discovery. In other words, if something is false, it's actually false over time. It's false for a period of time. And what we're really discovering, or what's really happening over time, is people are becoming aware that this thing, this information, is false. This becomes very important when we look at the fear of missing out and we look at the right to try. Okay, so let's just give you some background in terms of medical school. And this is still being taught in medical school today, by the way. So what we're taught in medical school is anything you are being taught right now, today, in medical school, half of everything you're being taught is false. All right, great. Half false. And your immediate response, of course, is, oh, wow, the other half is true. I just have to sort through what's true and what's not. Okay, I'm going to be on my toes, alert, pay attention, and I'm going to sort this out. But then they say, wait, the remaining half, which is true, will become false. Half of that half will become false every 4 years. All right, so now we got another problem. So let's figure this out. So you're being taught stuff in medical school. Right now, 50% is true. In 4 years, 25% will be true. In 8 years, 12.5% will be true. In 12 years, 6.25% will be true. In 16 years, 3.13% will be true. And in 20 years, we'll just say 1.6% will be true. But wait. So in 20 years from the time I enter medical school, and this is for any medical student, 20 years after that, 98.4% of everything taught in medical school will be false. So I asked the question when I was in medical school, excuse me, if 98.4% of everything you're teaching us is going to be discovered to be false in 20 years, isn't it false today? I literally called home and told my mother, oh my God, Mom, they're teaching us a pack of lies. And she said, I think you're reading too much into this. But this is actually true. So in other words, 98.4% of what's being taught in medical school by the medical school's own admission is false. Absolutely false. Absolutely false. Okay. But this 98.4%, which is false, you got to understand, the doctors are licensed to apply it. The FDA has approved it. Rigorous FDA approval has been given to all these drugs that are falsely being presented to be effective. And so again, by this is the medical school's own admission. So we're just mathematically applying what is being taught in medical school. I mean, the idea that something is true on Monday and false on Tuesday, you got to ask yourself, what's going on here, right? Yeah, what's going on here? Obviously, it's at least, you have to say, at least it's arbitrary and capricious. And so it's like the sun rising. It rises every day. This is the way it is. It's true. It happens. Rain, it really does fall from the sky. So, but what happens in medical school is what then? It's an artificial construct. All right. So now we know that information rigorously examined by the FDA, delivered by, so in other words, the FDA is an arm of the government. So approved by the government, administered by, I'll call it a doctor, licensed by the government, is 98.4% false. False. All right. So understanding this, let's take a look at the right to try legislation and see what it means. All right. So helping cancer patients to understand the new right to try law. And this is from Medscape Family Medicine. This is the information mouthpiece of the medical industrial complex. This is their version of events. In other words, we'll just say it's a sympathetic view. So we're getting it straight from the horse's mouth from a source that is sympathetic to the medical industrial complex itself. In other words, they're not hardly going to call themselves out for being liars. And so what we're going to do is take a look at what they say. I get a lot of people saying, well, Dr. Daniels, they say. So now we're going right to them and we're seeing what they say. Okay. So the best way for patients to get access to investigational drugs. Now, what's an investigational drug? An investigational drug is, first of all, a drug. It's a material that has not yet been examined by the FDA and approved by them for use on humans. So it's being investigated. Is to participate in a clinical trial of that drug, this doctor says. Then the drug is provided under controlled circumstances and it can be administered safely. Okay. So again, we're looking at a drug that can be administered safely. So we're being told that this is a good idea. So both Shilisky and Carlson also spoke in favor of the FDA's existing expanded access program for patients who are not able to enroll in clinical trials. And so the FDA has an expanded program that allows people access to unapproved medications. All right. In other words, these are medications that could be approved but have not yet been approved for whatever reason. We don't know what the reason is. In a report to its expanded access program in fiscal 2017, the FDA noted that it approved more than 99% of applications for expanded access through special applications and protocols, as known as compassionate use. In other words, when a doctor on behalf of his patient says, hey, I want to use this drug not yet approved for my particular patient because I think the patient would benefit, more than 99% of those requests are approved. So the program appears to meet much of the needs cited by supporters of the right to try law, Carlson said. So he's saying, this is a doctor, he's saying this new law is designed to solve an access problem that does not exist. So, but wait, what problem is it designed to solve? Right? So that's our question. What problem is it designed to solve? Because most people feel that they have an access problem. They have an access problem. The problem is they cannot access therapies that are effective. Most people who want access to something other than the drugs that they have available. And so what this is saying is, well, we're going to give you access to drugs that are not yet publicly available because the FDA has not yet approved them. But we know that FDA approval means that there's a 98.4% chance that the drug is ineffective. Okay. So we're granting people access to a pool of drugs that are 98.4% ineffective. We know this by looking back historically and by the industry's own claims that half of everything it produces is false in every 4 years. Okay. So they also emphasize the FDA's expanded access approach provides what they consider important safeguards for patients. These include institutional review boards, that means the institution, which would be the hospital or medical school, reviews what's being administered to the patient or to the sick person, which can ensure that patients comprehend the balance of risk and benefits for an experimental drug. So this experimental drug is one that has not yet been approved by the FDA and actually may not be approved by the FDA because maybe in the future information will be available that indicates its danger. All right, off to commercial time.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Give such delight. We all leave before morning light. Please don't go. No, please.
Hi, Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, so we're taking a look at the right to try legislation. And this is from the medical industrial complex. They're telling us what they think, and we're going to take their word for it. Okay. So, the FDA also offers doctors guidance on how to use the experimental drugs in the expanded access program. So the doctors get some guidance on how to use these drugs. We know from experience this guidance is generally pretty deadly, but it is guidance. So if you take the FDA out of the picture, which is what Right to Try does, then there is no way for doctors to get the guidance they need unless they can get it from the pharmaceutical company, Shalisky says. But now wait, just pause right here. All the guidance comes from the pharmaceutical companies anyway. The pharmaceutical companies do the research. They write the package insert. They write all of this stuff. So, you know, that's always where it comes from anyway. But I think what Shalisky is saying is, wait, we don't have a filter of the FDA rejecting drugs that are more dangerous than the usual. So the not-for-profit foundation is working to make it easier for doctors to apply for expanded access. Says associate professor of medicine at the University of Chicago in an interview. So now, you can make it easier for doctors to apply for expanded access, but right now, When a doctor applies for expanded access, it means access to drugs not yet approved by the FDA, the ones the patient might be missing out on, these FOMO drugs, fear of missing out, the ones patients fear they're missing out because they don't want to wait until the FDA approves it, which might take years. There's a 99% approval rate for access to those drugs right now as we see. So the organization's online navigator helps doctors prepare requests to drug makers for expanded access. So doctors have to apply to the drug maker to get access to these drugs that are so questionable that they've not yet been approved. And for a drug to not yet be approved, you got to get this. They have the orphan drug program where they expedite approval of the drug with like little or no evidence of effectiveness because, well, someone might miss out. So there's all kinds of alternative pathways. And they also have the compassionate use program, which is the doctor can use drugs that have not yet been approved, even by the FDA's quick approval process, and those requests are 99% approved. So what is left for the person to have access to? I want to know. Let's see. Okay, at large academic centers that would be teaching hospitals, it is not difficult to find an early stage study in which to enroll cancer patients who have normal liver and kidney function. More than 1,100 cancer medicines are in various stages of testing, according to a list released recently by the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America, a drug makers trade group. This list includes studies of already approved drugs that are being studied for new uses, as well as phase one studies of unapproved drugs. Cancer specialists are now grappling with how to sequence and use newer agents. So here's this cancer specialist trying to figure out which of the 1,100 drugs in the research phase he should use in place of the present drugs that are not working. He said, "We are drinking from the fire hose, and that's great," he says. "The FDA is working to speed drugs to market." But wait. So we have a pool of 1,100 substances. We won't call them drugs yet. We don't know what they are. Substances that are being promoted by drug companies. Not promoted, but examined by drug companies. That are going through the experimental phase that have not yet been approved. All right. So back up 30 years. We have the same process, pretty much the same companies, going through the same process. And what they have produced is 98% useless. Do you think the same process with the same entities is going to produce anything any more useful? Good question. Be back from commercial. We'll chat about that.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniel, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniel. Okay, so we are talking about this right to try. We're trying to get down to right to try what? Okay, so FDA is working to speed drugs to market. So backers of the right to try law sometimes show the FDA as an almost willful hurdle to the wishes of people facing death. It just gives those individuals the right to choose for themselves, not have a faceless bureaucrat at the FDA make that decision, says Senator Johnson, as he advocated for the right to try law in March on the Senate floor. Now, the fact that the FDA is approving drugs at a rate of less than 2% effectiveness, the FDA is not much of a hurdle to the approval of anything. And so last month, Johnson took exception to comments from FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb about a potential need to build more patient protections on the right to try pathway. This law intends to lessen the FDA's power over people's lives, not increase it, Johnson wrote. However, this is not a view held by experts in the field who see the FDA as an ally in the challenge to get new drugs to desperately ill patients. And again, what we're talking about here is we're talking about getting new drugs to desperately ill patients. And so this physician pointed out that the FDA, especially its cancer chief, are working to speed new cancer medicines to market. The agency has proved accommodating in recent years to companies seeking approval of cancer drugs with fairly limited supporting evidence. read that with no evidence of effectiveness at all. So the FDA is saying yes to everything. Any cancer company, you got a drug, you want to put it in a human body? The FDA is behind it. So the FDA says, hey, we're not the bottleneck. When we see things that work, they are getting approved and they are getting out there. And then again, with limited evidence of effectiveness means when they see things that don't work, it's still getting out there. In recent years, the FDA has often relied on surrogate endpoints and single-arm trials that involved relatively small patient groups for approving cancer drugs. For example, in 2017, FDA granted approval of the lymphoma drug. It said it approved both drugs on the basis of studies that measured how many patients experienced complete or partial shrinkage of tumors. Not shrinkage, partial shrinkage. So you have shrinkage, then you have partial shrinkage. Okay. Just so you can visualize how much partial shrinkage is. The pivotal study included 124 patients. Another study for a different drug included 104 patients. So in a country, call it United States, of 330 million people, more or less, you're going to rely on a study of 124 patients? This doctor says drug makers may not always be able to provide experimental products to people who seek them through the new Right to Try approach or through the FDA's established expanded access program. The firms may have manufactured only a limited supply of these drug materials. In addition, there can be serious concern about how these powerful agents would be administered in the new, less closely supervised pathway. The FDA is not the problem. If you want to say that there's a problem at all, the problem is with the pharmaceutical companies that are unwilling or unable to provide their drugs outside of clinical trials before they are approved. And this, by the way, is true. So when a drug company is manufacturing a substance that is not yet approved by the FDA, it manufactures them in pretty small amounts, like enough for a clinical trial, but really not much more. Because the drug company doesn't know if this drug is going to succeed, in which case, why make enough for, you know, a million people when maybe it'll end up that zero people will be using it? Just trying to enlighten you as to the process here. The FDA provided journals with a copy of the note that the director of the agency's Center for Drug Evaluation and Research sent to her staff after the enactment of the Right to Try law. She said the FDA is working to develop further information about how to respond to inquiries from those seeking to gain access to experimental medicines outside of clinical trials and the expanded access program, she wrote. Now, the thing to understand here is these drugs have a success rate of zero. When I say that, I mean they have not been used. They don't have a history of successful use. So if you look at the anti-fragile doctrine, the doctrine of you want to use things that have stood the test of time, then all of these drugs in the experimental category have not had even 1 minute of use in the public domain, let alone expanded use. So it's not that they have a success of failure, a record of failure. It's that they have no record of success, and even more so, no record at all. And so this is the ultimate in what Nassim Taleb would call a sucker play. In other words, the patient resorting to these drugs is being exploited and taken advantage of, just by the way. Okay, so in other words, this is a right to be a sucker. Not right to try, but right to be a sucker. So savvier patients. These are patients who are more knowledgeable and more sophisticated. Let's see what they say. So the medical director of the Community Oncology Alliance said he expects the right to trial law to help some patients. Some, it means a small number, just letting you know. Although he foresees challenges ahead regarding the potential for abuse, there you go, and the possibility of litigation. So in other words, he expects that patients are going to try these drugs under the Right to Try Act. They're going to be harmed, and that they will retaliate or look for redress in the legal system. But again, if you take a look at the his history of materials in medical school, they tell you, this stuff has been reviewed by the FDA. It has been tested. We have research. We have proof. We have evidence. And still, half of it is useless. In other words, false. And another half will be false in 4 years. And so what they are telling you is they are drawing their information about effective therapies from an unreliable source. Yes, that's what I would have to deduce. If you are pulling your information from a source where upon receipt half the information is simply untrue, and then in 4 more years another 50% is shown to be untrue, then you have to question the source you're getting your information from. Okay. And so patients facing death may be willing to take a chance on even toxic, that's deadly, dangerous medicines that are long shots for stopping or slowing their cancer, he said. And so we know these drugs are all a long shot. Why do we know they're a long shot? Because they have no record. So anything with no record of existence is a long shot, period, done. But if you have something out there that's been providing relief over a period of time, say 10, 20, 40, 50, 80, even 100 years, that is what you want to try. So he says, I used to sort of discourage people from doing things that I thought didn't make sense, intellectual sense, but what makes sense to me doesn't necessarily carry over to them, the doctor says. So a doctor recalled a recent patient of his for whom the Right to Try pathway would have been attractive. The patient was a cardiologist in his 50s who was battling melanoma. Stop right there. So if doctors knew so much about staying healthy, how come this cardiologist is so sick? Just saying. Although this patient would have been willing to travel far for a clinical trial, his liver test results ruled him out as a candidate for research studies. There are a lot of people out there, especially younger people and more highly educated people, who will go to the last end to try to get something that might slow things down and buy them some more time, the doctor said. Now wait, if you're highly educated, then you would know that you don't want to waste your last days on something that might slow things down. You know that you got problems and you need something that's got a track record. And so the Right to Try legislation does not give people a right to try or increase access to anything proven, rather to things that are unproven. And so what this really gives people a right to then is a right to take deadly, dangerous things. It does not give people a right to any methods or materials that may have been proven over a long period of time, call it generations, that would not qualify for FDA approval. So what it does then is it gives people more access to deadly interventions. We won't even call it therapies, deadly intervention. So the right to try then is a right for people to access therapies from the same pool that the other ineffective therapies have come from. So what you're doing then is accessing a highly unreliable, questionable, dangerous, and harmful source. And so what the right to try legislation has said, when people have this much access to deadly and dangerous materials, let's expand their access to even more deadly and dangerous materials. Because it hasn't been widely shared with the public. But these 1,100 cancer drugs that drug companies are doing experimental trials on are stuck not because the FDA is standing in the way, but because these companies cannot even find enough cancer patients to enter the trials. So the drug companies can't even produce data at all, let alone effective data. So they don't even have enough people to try this stuff out on. And so really what the right to try legislation does is it gives these drug companies more guinea pigs to enter into their trials so they can hopefully have some shred or modicum of data. And we're not even talking about data to support their drug or not. We're talking about just plain data, any data at all. And so what people are being led to, in particular cancer patients, is they're being led to therapies that are untested, untried, and there's just no reason to believe it might be effective. Now, what about other types of cancer therapy? Now, in order to get a grip on this, you have to understand that even with the totally ineffective therapies available for cancer, and, you know, the industry will tell you our therapies are not effective. That's their own confession. 80% of people diagnosed with cancer do not die of their cancer. So if you're a gambler playing the odds, and you've been told you have cancer, there's an 80% chance you will not die of it. There's a 100% chance you will die because all of us are going to die. But there's an 80% chance you will not die of the cancer with which you were diagnosed. And so then you have to say, wait a minute. Does it make sense for me to even treat this cancer if I'm not going to die of it? Now, a more creative approach might be to say, hey, if I'm not going to die of this cancer, what am I going to die of? And again, we have this is 80% chance. And of course, the answer, what are you going to die of? You're going to die of the dangerous, hazardous therapies that you resort to based on the belief that you have cancer. And this is where the danger lies. So the deal with this is we have this right to try legislation, but it doesn't give anyone the right to try anything that has a track record. Now that would be useful, it seems to me. I mean, hey, nobody asked me, right? Just saying. So we have this legislation, right to try, which sounds very compassionate, but we've already have the compassionate use law, which gives people the right to try some pretty questionable stuff. And as we see here, this so-called educated, sophisticated patient was ready to try some pretty dangerous stuff that had no chance of helping him because his lab test showed that his liver was too fragile and that, and what suggested, that the therapy he was considering would probably kill him. So you have to, wonder about even the compassion and the right to try law. Now, what's really going on here, what I would say is, why not just dissolve the FDA? Just dissolve it. The stuff they approve is 98% ineffective and dangerous. So why not just let the patient choose on his own whatever they want to do? Why not just remove the fig leaf? just remove the fig leaf and say, hey, you know what? These are drugs. You can take them at your own risk. Maybe they'll work. Maybe they won't. But again, FDA approval is almost like a negative confirmation. Oh, approved by the FDA. 98% chance it's not going to work for what it's approved for. So you have to take a look at this stuff. And a lot of times it's easier to look at this stuff and to examine it, you know, from the perspective of your armchair when you have not been diagnosed. We have a commercial. We'll be back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, so what we've determined then is that the right to try law actually gives the patient expanded access to being harmed. It is not the right to try. It is the right to be harmed, because the right to try is limited to the pool of substances or materials that the FDA might or might not approve in the future. We know from past experience that the FDA, as a filter, ends up approving drugs that end up being 98% ineffective and harmful. So the right to trial legislation, in terms of something beneficial, is simply not. It's a false sense of privilege, if you will. Now, so right to try then is simply the right to access even more harmful materials. Now, of course, what people were thinking or hoping was that they would have a right to try maybe alternative things, maybe a right to try things that maybe a drug company might not come up with, maybe a right to try things that have been used in the past. The question then is, why do you need the government's permission to try these things, right? Hello? So why do you need government permission? And there's two thoughts on this. One is you don't need government permission to try a glass of water. Don't need it. You don't need government permission to have more bowel movements. Nope, don't need it. So people are asking for permission to do things that they don't need permission for. That's one consideration. So what many people are saying is we want the government to give its approval to anything and everything and give us permission before we try it. So there are people out there who are adults, over the age of 21. Let's just all agree anyone over the age of 21 is an adult. Let's just accept that. But there are many people who are adults chronologically who want to be children of the government and who want the government to make decisions on their behalf that are going to benefit them. And that's just not possible. Not possible. Why is it not possible? It's not possible because the government is simply a collection of human beings. And what do human beings do? Human beings make decisions based on their own objectives. And since these people in government have never met you, they can't possibly make a decision that's in your best interest. Only you can do that. It's not that they don't like you. Oh, well, maybe they wouldn't like you if they met you. And it's not that they hate you, although if they met you, maybe they wouldn't like you. So it's not that they have any malice. It's just that they don't have the ability. They don't have the ability to make decisions that are in your better interest, even if they wanted to. We are going to commercial. We'll carry this. Continue later.
Just standing there. And I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then. And then once again. You said you would come and dance with me. Dance with me.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the